It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
It's the Media Buzz Meter with Howard Kurtz.
Come on, this sounds like something out of the Twilight Zone. A House subcommittee today is holding hearings on UFOs. First hearings on UFOs in 50 years, because we don't have enough problems here on Earth. We got to go chasing UFOs. Here's Adam Schiff, chairman of the House Intel Committee. There are a lot of unexplained aerial phenomena. We don't know what they are. They can't be easily rationalized as weather phenomenon or balloons or anything else. So it's quite a mystery. Cue the scary music. Schiff goes on to say that the witnesses will be very careful not to speculate that this is some extraterrestrial or this is some foreign adversary with unknown technology. Okay. I don't know. Chatter about UFOs has been around for a very long time. Is it really worth Congress's time? We're going to learn anything from this. We shall see. Now that she's free of the conservatorship, Britney Spears seems to be have liberated herself. She posted a whole bunch of nude pictures online. I guess this makes her feel good. And I was going to have a little fun with it. And then she announced the news that she'd suffered a miscarriage. And I was very sorry to hear that. It's a hard thing for anybody to go through. But Britney has ways, shall we say, of still managing to stay in the news. Hey, an LA judge has ruled that California's law requiring women on corporate boards violates the state constitution. This law would have been an absolute requirement on private companies to have up to 3 female directors. And this judge, I'm sure this will be appealed, ruled that violated the right to equal treatment. This is a suit filed by the Conservative Judicial Watch, claiming it was illegal to use taxpayer money to enforce a law that violates the Equal Protection Clause with a gender-based quota. And I have to agree with that. Now, look, I want more women on corporate boards. I think there should be more minorities on corporate boards. There are lots of ways that you can encourage that, affirmative action programs and so forth. Once you set a quota, once you say this many people have to be hired for this kind of position, clearly that disadvantages anybody who's not in that group, in this case, men. If it involved minorities, it would be white people or any other group. And so I think this is really la-la land. I don't think this was going to stand any kind of judicial test. We shall see if it overturned on appeal. This is just a Superior Court level, but I didn't even know this was going on. So interesting news from California. All right, story number one. President Biden in Buffalo today to give a speech about racial violence and to comfort people and the victims of the horrible, just awful, just heartbreaking mass shooting in a Buffalo supermarket in a predominantly black neighborhood. Now, some of the news tidbits that have surfaced here is that this guy, the 18-year-old, whose name I'm not going to mention, had been plotting this for months. We also learned that he went to the supermarket the day before to kind of scope it out. I read that he was asked to leave. And this Tops supermarket, according to local police, was only supposed to be the beginning. If he wasn't stopped, he was going to go on to another store, another large superstore. So, I hate to say it could have been worse because this is so terrible, but that's what we have found out. I have a whole column today on this on the Fox website. You have to be living under a rock not to know that on the rival cable channels, as well as in some other news outlets, every hour there's an attack on Fox News for inspiring this and for allowing this point of view. Many in particular blaming Tucker Carlson, who, by the way, last night said that this guy's philosophy is completely incoherent. He's mentally ill. He has never embraced violence. He called the attack racist. You can go online and see what Tucker had to say. And what bothers me about this, and I get into this in the column, and I talked about this to some degree on the podcast yesterday, is you know, how quickly many in the media and politics moved on from, you know, the shock and sorrow of these innocent victims who had just gone to the store to buy some food, to the blame game, finger pointing, you know. And by the way, I point out in this column that both sides have done this. There are instances that I point to in which some liberal Democrat MSNBC loving person commits a mass shooting or mass murder, and then conservatives are quick to pile on. And in this case, if you even want to call this mentally ill, twisted, and sick individual a conservative, he obviously hates black people. He obviously hates Jewish people. But it's just a rambling, you know, and this is true not only in the, 180-page screed that he wrote, but also, you know, other things that he has posted online that have been analyzed. Now you have liberals, particularly liberals in the media, and, you know, liberals in politics on Capitol Hill saying, you know, this is all about the grand replacement theory, and anybody who's ever mentioned that is therefore responsible. And I've been saying the same thing since President Clinton in 1995 tried to blame the Oklahoma City bombing, that horrible attack that claimed so many lives at the Oklahoma City Federal Building, on Rush Limbaugh, because he didn't like Limbaugh's philosophy. So this goes on and on and on. Here is Megyn Kelly on her Sirius XM show saying, "We will not be naming the shooter on this program. I have the same philosophy." The manifesto was filled with racist and anti-Semitic commentary. Some of the media have been quite quick, says Megyn, to point fingers and even place blame on our friend and very popular Fox News host Tucker Carlson. It's outrageous. It's wrong, both factually and morally. Why do we have to go to that place immediately on these stories? Why can't we spend 2 effing minutes, she says, mourning the people who are dead and trying to understand that we have insane people in this country? We have lunatics. It's a huge country. We're not going to be able to get rid of all of them. It infuriates me. People have to inject their politics into everything. This guy had a racist manifesto. There's no question that doesn't make it Tucker Carlson's fault. Just stop it. Stop it. Now, there is a debate to be had, and I'll get into more of this in just a second, about replacement theory and immigration policy. But when you go the blood on the hands route, I mean, if I say something on the air, anybody else, and some crazy person latches onto that and acts according to their own violent fantasies, is that my fault? Should I never have brought it up? I mean, there's just this guilt by association that I have been talking about on both sides of the political spectrum for decades now. On the other hand, here you have Liz Cheney, who I guess, you know, she's a member of the January 6th committee. I guess she's sort of a nominal Republican at this point, because she's not only anti-Trump and anti-Trumpism, but here she is calling out her party. You know, Dick Cheney's daughter, lifelong Republican, a former official in the Bush administration. Here's what she tweeted. "The House GOP leadership has enabled white nationalism, white supremacy, and anti-Semitism. History has taught us that what begins with words ends in far worse. GOP leaders must renounce and reject these views and those who hold them." And you have a situation in Arizona where the Republican-controlled state Senate there voted yesterday to open an investigation into State Senator Wendy Rogers after she said on social media the FBI was behind the mass shooting in Buffalo. And the vote was 24-3. This is Looney Tunes. So she's from Flagstaff. She'd been censured back in March after speaking at an America First Political Action Committee conference, which had a kind of a far-right agenda. She also shared an anti-Semitic image on her Gab account, just reading from, you know, people writing off the local news here. She told the white nationalist group, "We need to build more gallows. If we try some of these high-level criminals, convict them, and use a newly built set of gallows, it'll make an example of these traitors who betrayed our country." She's a prominent Trump supporter and supports Donald Trump's allegations that the 2020 election was stolen. So here you have Republicans moving against one of their own, in this case, a state senator, for, you know, as if the FBI, what, staged all this? You know, I got to tell you, every time there's a mass shooting, I get depressed because it just seems endless. It goes on and on and on. Elementary school students being killed, high school students being killed, people shopping in a supermarket being killed, people at a nightclub being killed, people at a Las Vegas hotel being killed, people at a college being killed, and on and on and on. Innocent victims of crazy, crazy people who have access to guns. And one of the striking things here, I know there's a whole gun control debate, is that in most of these cases, these people who sometimes are on the radar of law enforcement and sometimes not, certainly the Buffalo suspect was, and was given a psychiatric evaluation, obtained guns legally. So it's hard to come up, it's harder to come up with a law that would bar them from getting guns. I saw one person, one politician suggested, why don't we raise the age at which you can legally buy a gun from 18 to 21, but you know that's not going to stop it. And by the way, in this other case, which has been completely overshadowed, in Orange County, California, the gunman who killed one person who was a hero, who tackled the guy in this California church, may have saved dozens of lives, and four others, I believe, were wounded. This gunman, according to police, was allegedly motivated by political hatred against Taiwan. He chained shut the doors of the church and hid firebombs inside before shooting. This is gathering of the Irvine Taiwanese Presbyterian Church. So you have all kinds of hatreds out there. Anti-black, anti-white, anti-Taiwanese, anti-Muslim. There's just a lot of hatred out there. And ordinarily, we don't become aware of these people until and unless they go crazy and start opening fire in a crowded place, which is just seems to be happening more and more. And more and more of them seem to be radicalized. You know, in their earlier days, maybe they were in touch with terrorist groups or inspired by ISIS or Al-Qaeda. Now it just seems to be the fever swamps of the internet. They study up on QAnon or 4chan. And it's, you know, it's a problem. I mean, there are too many guns on the streets, but I don't want them to get into a debate about gun control. If these people are legally buying guns and they're mentally ill, that is the nub of the problem, or one of them.
Hey, let's pause right there. The Buzz Meter continues right after this.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
So, number two, Rich Lowry in National Review makes a pretty good case that there is a separate debate about immigration policy that shouldn't be tied up with crazy MFers who open fire. So he begins by saying the grand replacement theory should be denounced by all people of goodwill, and indeed it thrives only in the most sewerish precincts of the internet. Yet, says Lowry, and he blames the media, there is an attempt to tar Republicans more broadly with the theory and somehow attribute responsibility for the atrocity in Buffalo to them. The argument is that the likes of Elise Stefanik, she's a Republican congresswoman from New York, number 3 in the House leadership, have warned that the Democratic Party views immigration as a way to change the electorate in its favor, and so is mainstreaming the hateful replacement ideology. This is a smear, Lowry says, and especially perverse. And this is interesting. If you don't agree with this, fine, but it's worth hearing. Republicans sounding the alarm about this Democratic view have been unquestionably correct. There hasn't been any secretive cabal at work It's all been out in the open, discussed by progressive political operatives and think tank analysts, and celebrated in the press. So, Lowry points to the very liberal Center for American Progress putting out a report back in 2013 when the immigration debate was hot again after the GOP loss in 2012. The title was Immigration is Changing the Political Landscape in Key States. And it said, supporting real immigration reform that contains a pathway to citizenship for our nation's 11 million undocumented immigrants is the only way to maintain electoral strength in the future. Come out and acknowledge that this helps Democrats. Books have been written about this. But the left, says Lowry, wants to create rules that define it as perfectly acceptable for Democrats to advocate high levels of immigration as a means of gaining political power and out of bounds for Republicans to call them on it. So I do want to make the sharpest distinction I possibly can, picking up on this National Review piece, which is there is a legitimate and fair debate, as there has been, you know, since the founding of the country, and in American history, you can look back about certain groups being banned from coming in because they were considered undesirable. There's a legitimate debate about how many immigrants we should allow in, how tightly policed or controlled our borders should be. This was obviously a very big issue in the Trump administration when Donald Trump wanted to build a wall, didn't end up building much of it. And the fact, according to, you know, even liberals, and I cited a couple of the examples, who say, look, if more and more immigrants come into this country, they tend to vote Democratic, and that will be a kind of a shifting of political clout. There's a difference between that and saying there is a dastardly conspiracy theory masterminded by Jews, masterminded by white supremacists, and white nationalists who hate black people, who hate minorities, to let these people in so that they will reduce the white population in America, which should be very, very afraid of this, into a shrinking majority, ultimately a minority. There's two different things there. And so every time, and look, is it wise for some of these Republican members of Congress to utter the phrase replacement theory? I think we'll be hearing a lot less of that. But the underlying reality, you know, has been talked about on the left as well as the right. All right, story number three, your daily Elon episode. So I was initially somewhat dismissive of Elon Musk saying, you know, I got to find out if there's more bots and fake accounts and spam accounts. It now appears to be getting a little bit more serious, raising the question of, is Elon Musk, as I tend to believe, just trying to get the price down, get to that in a second, or is he laying the path for him to back out of this deal? So many news stories pegged to the Musk's latest words, in which he says this deal cannot move forward until he gets more details about the volume of these fake and spam accounts. He's kind of negotiating on Twitter, which is fascinating. And, you know, Twitter says it wants the deal to go forward. It says, and these are regulatory filings, that fewer than 5% of its accounts are fake. Musk says that's hard to believe. He says on Twitter, at like 3 in the morning, that the figure could well be above 20%. My offer was based on Twitter's SEC filings being accurate, says Musk. A Twitter user said, hey, it could be more than half all Twitter accounts. And Musk said, exactly. So he was also at a conference in Miami yesterday. And he said, look, striking a deal for a lower price is not out of the question. Because if you look at the Twitter stock, remember it soared after Musk made his offer. Well, it had been, he's offering $54.20 a share. Twitter's shares fell 8% yesterday, closing at 37 and change. So that's so far below that it makes his offer look all the more generous and also means it's a much more expensive purchase for him. So no wonder he's latched onto something trying to get the price down. So the CEO of Twitter, Parag Agrawal, posted a lengthy thread yesterday explaining how the company calculates the number of bots. He said the company had shared an overview of this estimation process with Elon a week ago. Elon Musk's response on Twitter, a poop emoji. I mean, who does that? Is it funny? Yeah. Is he act like he's 12 at times? Yeah. Here he is, you know, going through a back and forth with the CEO of the company. He wants to take over, and he sends back that little brown thing that I'm sure you've all seen. That's really something. Hey, a related story here. SEC filing by Donald Trump reveals that his company, his fledgling company, Truth Social, he has an agreement with Truth Social that leaves him plenty of elbow room to jump to Twitter and other social media platforms. Trump is restricted by 6 hours after posting anything to Truth Social, but he's only sort of generally required to post there. But let's say that sticks. So 9 in the morning, he posts something on Truth Social. 6 hours later, he can put it on Twitter. He can put it on any platform to which he has access. Obviously, if Musk gets Twitter, he will be back. And then he can say, look, I'm trying to promote Truth Social, but at the same time, the people have demanded that I be back on Twitter, and here it is. You know, and nobody in Twitter, you know, since Truth Social has such a relatively small number of users, a couple of million, nobody on Twitter is going to care if it appeared somewhere else first. So that is opening the door, in my view, for a return to Twitter by one Donald J. Trump, depending on what happens in this larger takeover fight. All right, number four, the FDA. This is good news, and this might speed things up a little bit in the baby formula crisis. The FDA reached an agreement with Abbott Laboratories on steps to reopen that shuttered plant in Michigan. This, because Abbott is the largest of the four American manufacturers, and the FDA still has to grant approval for production to resume. So there was a bacterial contamination found back in February, and there was a recall, and unfortunately two babies died. Abbott denies responsibility for that. But it's now May, and I don't understand why it's taken so long to get this factory back online. So there's an agreement with the Justice Department and a consent decree. In other words, Justice Department says you did all these terrible things. Says once the FDA found this deadly bacteria, Abbott staff, quote, have been unwilling or unable to implement sustainable corrective actions to ensure the safety and quality of food manufactured for infants. Abbott says there's no conclusive evidence to link Abbott's formulas to these infant illnesses. So what this is the Justice Department brings the case. Abbott says, we didn't do it, but we'll go along with a consent decree. In other words, I'm not guilty, but I'll sort of act like I am just to get this thing moving. And once the FDA gives the all clear, this Abbott plant could begin production within about 2 weeks. But unfortunately, that would translate into actual formula on the shelves in 6 to 8 weeks. The company says it's now flying in formula from a plant in Ireland. Well, at least it's a movement, I'll say that. Speaking of coronavirus, it's now an average of 95,000 new cases a day. And hospitalizations are up, but still at the lowest level since the pandemic. And that, I think, is a direct result of people getting vaccinated and boosted. But the piece that I read said, here's the piece, Washington Post. Experts say Americans can assume infections in their communities are 5 to 10 times higher than the official counts. A woman from Pandemic Group is saying any look at the metrics on either a local, state, or national level is a severe undercount. Everyone knows someone getting COVID now, and that's certainly true in my case. Now, here it is. Hospitalizations have increased 50% since bottoming out 6 weeks ago, but roughly 23,000 patients in hospitals still represents the lowest hospitalization of the entire pandemic. So this tripling, I remember when it was under 30,000, of new COVID cases is driving the national average and is concentrated in the Northeast. I don't know entirely why, but certainly it's perhaps the most densely populated part of the country. You know, I read these numbers like they're real numbers, 90,000, 95,000, 5 to 10 times higher. I mean, that's kind of scary. I mean, the only sort of silver lining here is that more people get it and they develop natural immunity. And maybe that leads to the virus. You know, there'll still be mutations and variants and need for more shots. Maybe it leads to the virus kind of burning itself out. because it then becomes more difficult to infect people. Not that I want anybody to get it. Some people get very mild symptoms, some people do not. But severe undercount, according to experts quoted by the Washington Post.
Hey, let's pause right there. The buzz meter continues right after this.
Story number five, Netflix. I've been meaning to get to this for a couple days. So Netflix posted this long, long memo to employees about the culture of the company. Now, the backstory here is, remember, Netflix had a special by Dave Chappelle. He told some transgender jokes. Some people said, well, that's just comedy. That's just Chappelle being Chappelle. A lot of other people were greatly offended, and including some who worked at Netflix. But Netflix, to its credit, didn't cave to the woke mob and stood behind Chappelle. And I have to add here, you know, Netflix is a pay service from the point of view of the consumers. If you don't want Netflix, you don't have to pay money to subscribe. And if you do subscribe, you don't have to click. There's a lot of different offerings on Netflix. You don't have to click on anything you don't want to watch. It's not like regular TV where something appears on NBC, ABC, or CBS, and that's the only TV some people get if they don't have cable. And I think there's more of a case of, you know, limiting things that might offend one part of the population. But Netflix is a very niche product in a way. I mean, it's got a huge number of users, even though that's been going down and they're tightening their belts. But, you know, there are lots of things on there you could just tell that are aimed at the black community, that are aimed at people who care about food, that are aimed at people who like raunchy humor, and on and on and on. So in this memo, just read it. At Netflix, we aspire to entertain the world, creating great stories from anywhere and offering greater choice and control for people everywhere. So some of this is sort of corporate speak. To help us succeed, we've created an unusual employee culture. This document is about that culture, how we can continuously improve as a team so we can better serve our members. And Netflix says it wants to hire and keep staff members who value judgment, selflessness, inclusion, and curiosity. We model ourselves, say the grand poobahs of Netflix, on being a professional sports team, not a family. You know how a corporation loves to say, oh, we're all family here. Every local TV newsroom is like, hi, join the family at News 5 at 5. Okay. A family is about unconditional love. A dream team is about pushing yourself to be the best possible teammate, caring intensely about your team. And here is what we in journalism call the nut graph. Depending on your role, you may need to work on titles you perceive to be harmful. If you find it hard to support our content breadth, Netflix may not be the place for you. There it is. Not going to put up with any of the woke stuff. We have a vast variety of micro-targeted TV shows, movies, specials, and so forth. And you may not, if you work at this company, you may not like everyone, but suck it up and work on it anyway in the interest of our broader goal of, you know, growing the company and appealing to all kinds of genres and subgenres and memes and so forth. In other words, if you can't deal with that, there's the door. Don't let it hit you on the way out. Now, that's kind of a ballsy thing, I think, for a company to do. Netflix, you know, when you look at the controversies involving Disney and all of these other corporations, Netflix isn't taking a side and saying, you know, we want to be okay with comedians who insult various ethnic groups. It's just saying, look, we appeal to lots of different people. You got to be part of the team. We're not a family. We pay you to do a job. You got to be part of a team. If you can't do that, there's a lot of jobs out there. We don't want you. I'm sure there's been blowback by the liberal mob, but I say bravo. Bravo to Netflix, as long as there's no discrimination. And look, there might be a time when Netflix posts something that is so offensive to so many people that it will have to take it down. That hasn't happened yet, and the Chappelle case was a good example. So Netflix employees have been duly warned. It's kind of similar in a way to what Elon Musk is saying about Twitter, if indeed he ends up taking it over. He's telling the people who work there, yeah, put aside the poop emoji, that, you know, that he wants to value free speech, that there might be cases of individual suspensions, but not permanent bans. And the thing to, he doesn't like the far right, he doesn't like the far left, and the way to deal with speech you don't like is to allow more speech that takes it on. Easy to say, hard to carry out. And so I think Netflix deserves a lot of credit for putting this into writing. Nobody can say they weren't warned, they didn't know. And we'll see where that goes. It's not like this debate is going to be over. Netflix is only one company. But it's a company that touches a lot of people if you want to subscribe. You don't like this philosophy? It doesn't only apply to workers. Don't get Netflix. You can get, Hulu, HBO Max, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, and on and on and on. But it's not like those companies are going to be free from that kind of controversy either. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate it. Sometimes the news is grim and we have to deal with it. I hope you'll subscribe to BuzzMeter at Apple iTunes or lots of other places. We'll be back here tomorrow. We'll see you then with more BuzzMeter.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.